Okay, my friends, we are ready for another wonderful chapter of Rambam, second chapter of Birkat, Brachot, second chapter of blessings. And this we're going to talk about the blessing after the meals. Seder Birkas HaMazon Kachi, the order for the blessing of the meal, the after the meal, is as follows. So there are four blessings. The first one is the blessing of Hazan. Hazan et ha'olam, so Hazan et ha'olam, God provides sustenance, potech et yaddecha, according to Sephardic Chabad custom, and so forth. The second blessing is Birkat Ha'aretz, the blessing of the land. So in the second blessing, we start talking about the land of Israel. We're thanking God for the land of Israel. The third
Rabbi, one moment.
Yep.
Are we looking at what I'm thinking we're looking at? It's like American Express, your card may not something, something.
No, that's probably not right. Let's try this one. Thanks for letting me know. How's that?
Beautiful. That's correct.
Okay. Okay, so the order of the blessing is, the first blessing is the blessing of Hazan, the second blessing is the blessing of the land, the third blessing is the blessing for Bonei Yerushalayim, which is the to build the Jerusalem. So it's all about Jerusalem and the kingdom of David, as we'll see. And the fourth one is called that God is the good one who does good, Hatov V'Hametiv. So the four blessings. Now the Rambam tells us that these blessings were established over time. So the benching grew over time. The first blessing was established by Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, our teacher. And the second one was established by Yehoshua, by Joshua, the one who brought us into the land of Israel. So it makes sense that he was the one who established the second blessing, which is about the land of Israel. The third one was established by King David and Solomon, his son. So that makes sense because that's the third blessing is about the kingship of David, the dynasty of David, and Jerusalem. And then the fourth one was established later in the times of the Mishnah. Chachmei Mishnah Tektua, the sages of the Mishnah, they established it. And as we'll see, there's a difference, halachic difference, between the last blessing and the first three. The first three have a status of a biblical commandment, and the fourth one has the status of a rabbinic institution. Number two, hapoyalim shayoisim alocha. If you have people who are working for somebody else, they're employees, they're laborers, and they're doing their work for the employer, and they eat their bread, they do not say the blessing beforehand. And you say, wow, why? Well, in Torah law, a laborer, a person who is getting paid by the hour, has a very strict obligation to use every free moment that he has, within reason, to do the work that he's getting paid for. And Jacob, by the way, we'll get to Rambam. We'll talk about it much later in one of the books about where he talks about, you know, labor laws. And Jacob, our forefather Jacob, is the poster child for the most honest laborer who worked for Laban, and he never wasted a second. He didn't allow his eyes to close, to be asleep on the job. And the story's in the Talmud about it. But in any case, what the halacha here is, I have an obligation to do my work. I'm getting paid by the hour, but I also have an obligation to say a blessing before eating my bread. Says the Rambam, halacha is, you don't say the blessing because it's a rabbinic obligation to say the blessing before, and therefore you skip it because you're under obligation to do your work. Now, I should say right away that today the halacha is different. The Shulchan Aruch already says that today the employer doesn't mind if you're going to say a blessing or the after blessing, and therefore it's appropriate to say the blessing. However, when it comes to the after blessing, the blessing that it said after eating, that you do say, because as we said, that's a biblical requirement, unlike the first blessing, but you do it a little bit differently. You only do the first two blessings because you don't want to neglect the employer's work. You do the first blessing as you always do in its proper way. And the second blessing, you start off with talking about the land of Israel, as you typically do. But then you include in it the idea of the third blessing, which is blessing God, the builder of Jerusalem. And then you come back and you finish the blessing about the land of Israel. And that's, by the way, you always have to choisim me'ein apsicho. You have to finish a blessing on the same theme that you started with. It has to be a nice sandwich and a symmetrical, clean beginning and end. But so that's why in the middle you put in Bonei Yerushalayim, the builder of Jerusalem. So again, if you're on the clock, you don't say the full blessing. This is what Rambam is saying. As I said before, the halacha today is different. But at one point the halacha was, you didn't say the entire benching, the entire grace after meals, the entire four blessings. Instead, you did the first two blessings, and within the second blessing, you inserted something about the third blessing, so you had the three blessings covered, and you leave out the fourth blessing entirely. As I mentioned, that the last blessing was added by the sages of the Mishnah, as opposed to the first three blessings, which are established in biblical times. Because they're established in biblical times, they have a higher degree of obligation. But the fourth blessing, established by the rabbis, you leave that off, just as you leave off the blessing before the bread, which is also rabbinic, because your obligation to your employer is greater than fulfilling these rabbinic requirements. You could also say it a different way, that when the rabbis required it, they set up the requirement in such a way that it shouldn't interfere with the time that you need to be doing your work. Now, that's all if you're getting paid, but if you're just getting your per diem, you're just receiving meals in return instead of a wage, or in a case where the owner himself, the employer, is eating together with the employees, in both of those cases, it's assumed that the employer doesn't mind if you do the full blessings, and so that's what you do. Number three, the blessing over the land of Israel. Now, we just open up our bencher, our prayer book, and we read what it says there. But back in the day, not everybody had a bencher. You have to remember what it says over there. So the Rambam tells us there's certain things you make sure you don't miss in that blessing. So what does he say? You have to say thankfulness at the beginning of the blessing and at the end of the blessing. And you have to end the blessing that you're thanking God for the land of Israel and for the sustenance. And you have to include in the blessing, Eretz, you have to describe the land of Israel as Eretz Chemda, a delightful land, Toiva, good land, Urachava, and spacious land. That's very important to describe it in that way. And it's so important that if you fail to describe the land in that way during this blessing, you do not fulfill your obligation. You got to go back and say it over. You also have to mention Bris, which is the covenant of circumcision. And you have to mention Torah, that God gave us the Torah. So we're thanking God for the bris. We're thanking God for the Torah. And it's important the order. You have to put bris before Torah. Mention the bris before Torah. Why? Rambam tells us. Because the bris that we're talking about, the covenant that we're talking about in the blessing about the land, is bris milo. It's the covenant of circumcision. And regarding circumcision, there were 13 covenants made over it, and we know that because the word bris appears 13 times regarding the bris of Milah, whereas the Torah is also a covenant, but with regarding the Torah, it only says the word bris, covenant, 3 times, as opposed to the 13 bris at bris Milah of circumcision. And the 3 times that it says it regarding Torah is in Deuteronomy, it says these are the words of the bris of the covenant. And then it says in another verse, in addition to the bris, the covenant that they made at Horeb, at Sinai, and then finally in Nitzavim, it says, you are establishing a covenant. So it says it 3 times. So since it says 13 times regarding circumcision and only 3 times regarding Torah, that's why you're supposed to mention bris of circumcision before Torah in the second blessing of the benching. Number 4, Bracha Shlishi, is the third blessing. You begin, Rachem Hashem Elokeinu, God have mercy upon us, and upon your nation Israel, and upon Jerusalem your city, and upon Zion, the sanctuary of your glory. Or, and that's how we say it, Rachem. The third blessing starts with Rachem. Rachem, Rachem no Hashem Elokeinu Rachem. But Rambam tells us you could also start it not with Rachem, which means have mercy. You can start it with the word Nachem. Nachem means comfort us. Nachmenu Hashem Elokeinu. With Jerusalem, comfort us, O God, with Jerusalem, your city. And you end the blessing either with Bone Yerushalayim, the builder of Jerusalem, or Menachem Ami Yisrael ben Yerushalayim. We bless God as the comforter, Menachem, of Israel, the Jewish people, with the building of Jerusalem. And therefore, this blessing is called the blessing of Nechama, comfort. If you did not mention the kingship of the house of David in this third blessing, you did not fulfill your obligation. You did not discharge your obligation. Why? Because that's what the blessing is about. Why? This is a very big line from Rambam. She'ein nechama gemura ela b'chazaras malchus beis David. There is no complete consolation until we have the return of the sovereignty to the house of David. It's a very, very important line. Number five, B'Shabbos Yisuv Yomim Tevim. Okay, so that's your benching for your average day, Sunday through Friday, no special day. What if it's Shabbat? What if it's a festival? Here in the third blessing, what we, as Rambam tells us, is the blessing of comfort, the blessing of Nechama. You start your blessing and you end your blessing as you always do, but you insert regarding the special sanctity of that day in the third blessing. How do you begin? You begin either Nachamenu, comfort us, O God, with the city of Zion, or Rachem, as we said before, have mercy upon us, on Israel, your nation, upon Jerusalem, your city. And you end either God, the comforter of Israel, the Jewish people, with the construction of Jerusalem, or the builder of Jerusalem. And then in the middle, you add about Shabbat, if it's Shabbat, and you say, Elokeinu v'lekei avoteinu, this is not our nusach, we start right with Ritzei. But Rambam says, you start with Elokeinu v'lekei avoseinu, our God, God of our fathers, like we do for Yalla v'yavo. Rambam says you do the same thing for Shabbat. I'm not sure if that's the Sephardic custom. Ritzei v'achlitzeinu means, may it please you, God, our Lord, to strengthen us. This is an interesting word, v'achlitzeinu. So it comes from the word chalutzim. The chalutzim are the strong ones who go forth with strength. So that's the same word, v'achlitzeinu. God should strengthen us with his mitzvahs, with your mitzvahs, and with the mitzvah of the seventh day, the great and holy day, this day. For this day is great and holy from before you. We will rest upon it, and we will rest upon it with love, as is the command of your will. And it is your will, you provided rest for us on this, our Lord our God, and there should not be upon us any tzara, any tzoris, any troubles, any evil, any agony, any groaning on this day, any sorrow on this day of rest, B'yoy Minuchasenu, the day of our Minucha, the day of our rest. That's Shabbat. What about Yom Tov? What do you add during the grace after meals when you have a festival such as Sukkot or Shavuot or Pesach or Simchas Torah? What do? You say the blessing, you say the prayer, Ya'ale V'yavo. Ya'ale V'yavo literally means, may it arise and may it come before you. May our prayers come before you. And so too on a Rosh Chodesh, which means the first of the month, or Chulo Shel Moed, which are the intermediate days of Pesach and Shavuot and Sukkot. You also add during the third blessing of the benching of the grace after meals, you add this prayer, Ya'ale V'yavo, in which you mention the particular day. Number six, if you have a meal on Chanukah, you have your latkes, you have your sufganiyot, but if you had bread and now you have to do the full length benching, or if it's Purim, you had your Purim meal, He had bread. So during the benching, during the second blessing, which is the blessing regarding the land of Israel, you add Al Hanisim. We thank God for the miracles. Hanukkah, the miracles of Hanukkah. Purim, the miracles of Purim. Just as you add during prayer, during the Amidah, in the prayer of thanksgiving, of Modim in Amidah. On Yom Tov and Rosh Chodesh, that comes out on Shabbat. So you're going to say the special blessing for Shabbat, which is Ritzei, first. And then you're going to say the blessing for Yalav Yavo. Okay, so it's a Shabbat, which is also Yom Tov. It's also first day of Rosh Chodesh. I mean, first day of the month. So you've got to do both. And so Rambam's telling us, which one do you do first? You do the one for Shabbat, and then you do the next one. And the reason for that is, as a general rule, whatever is more frequent, whatever comes along more frequently, that's the one you do first. So since Shabbat comes around more often than a first day of the month, or more often than a holiday, you do the Shabbat first. There's an interesting lesson there, that sometimes we give more attention to that which is new, that which is unusual, and we lose sight of the regular. And so there's a lesson there that the regular, the steady, that you have to give priority to. Same thing, if the first day of the month of Tevet comes out on Shabbat, that's going to be the longest benching of the year. Maskir Alanisim. So the first day of Tevet is the fifth day or sixth day of Hanukkah, right? Because Hanukkah starts on the 25th of Kislev, which is 5 days before Rosh Chodesh Tevet. So it's in the middle of Hanukkah, it's Shabbat, it's Rosh Chodesh. And so, yes, longest benching of the year. That should have been our trivia question for today. What is the longest bench of the year? The answer is Shabbat, Hanukkah, that comes out on Rosh Chodesh. Of course, that week you're going to have three Torahs as well. So the Kiddush will end very late in that week. And you add that during the second blessing of the benching. And then you add the prayer for Shabbos and the prayer for holiday in the third blessing, which is known as the blessing of comfort. Number 7, Bracha Revius, the fourth blessing of benching. Tzorech lahaskir ba shalosh malchuyos. You have to mention in that blessing three times that God is king. And if you know the benching, it's like this. You start with, the last blessing starts like this. Baruch ata Hashem elokeinu melech ha'olam, which is a typical blessing, but the last word there, melech, means king. And then you say, Hakel Avinu Malkeinu. Malkeinu, again, our king. HaMelech HaToiv VaMeitiv. HaMelech is, again, the king. So we mentioned three times that God is king. Now, if you have a guest who is eating at somebody's home, he's a guest in the house, so you're supposed to add a blessing to the host. This is not a Chabad custom. Chabad custom, we have our benching. It's the same prayer wherever you go. It's actually a little bit comical, because in the Chabad Nusach it says, Rachamonu yuvorech es ovi moiri balabayis hazeh. Wherever you are, you say, may God bless my father, my master, the master of this home. Doesn't matter where you are, you always say that. And there's a Kabbalistic explanation for it, is that when you talk about the father, you're talking about your chokhmah. Because in Kabbalah, chokhmah, which is the flash of insight, kernel of insight, is referred to as the father, the progenitor of emotion and of thought. And the mother is the bina. It's where the kernel, the seed, the idea is fleshed out, like in the womb, like in the womb of the mother. And so when you're saying, may God bless my father, may God bless my mother, the owner of this house, you're the house. And that's these are the masters of your home, because what you think, that's what you feel, that's what you do. So you're asking God to bless. And therefore, it doesn't matter where you are, whose house it is, you always say that according to the Arizal custom, and that's the Chabad custom. However, many others have the custom that they tailor this blessing, depending on where they are, they will say different things. To each their own custom. Ketzad. So what, according to Rambam, what do you say if you're a guest at a house? What's the blessing for a host? He says, Yihi ratzon, may it be God's will, shelo yevosh balabayit b'olam hazeh, that the host shall not be ashamed in this world, v'lo yikaleim l'olam habay, may he not be humiliated in the world to come. Now we say this not about the host, but in general, about ourselves. Shelo nevosh v'lo nikaleim l'olam ba'ed. So we have it as a general prayer for everybody. And you as a guest, you have permission. The sages give, say, typically the sages say, don't mess around with the prayers. We set it up. We knew what we were doing. Don't tamper with it. Don't add stuff. Don't take stuff out. Leave it the way it is. Leave it to the professionals. But here they give a specific permission that if you want to add to your blessing of the host, go right ahead. Knock yourself out. Ches, ukshemavorchem bebeisa oval, when you say the blessing in the house of, not upon us, a mourner, oimer bevracha revius, then you add in the fourth blessing, hamelech hachai hatoiv ametiv, the living and good God, kel emes, God of truth, dayan emes, the judge of truth, shofet betzedek, who judges with righteousness, shalit ba'ilamai, who's in control over his world, to do as he wishes. We are his servants, and we are obligated to thank him and to bless him. Obviously, these are tailored to what has just happened, that there's been a loss, and so we are affirming our faith in God, that God, in God's justice during the benching. I'll be honest, I don't know if this is the custom in any communities. I have never seen it in the bencher of the Chabad bencher, so I don't think that is a custom in the Chabad world anyway. And then you can ask for mercy of God upon the mourner, that he should be comforted, again, according to what you would like. You have a license to create your own blessing for the Avel, the mourner. And then you end off, Harachamon, etc. Number 9, going from the sad to the very happy, Beveis Chasanim, at a house of a wedding, Mevorchim Birkas Chasanim Acher Abba Brachas, Elu. So this is the Sheikh Lamsham. So the house of the bridegroom, he calls it, there you say the last blessing. Again, we have a different custom with this, but Rambam says you say the last blessing of the Sheva Brachas, the 7 blessings that are said at the end of the chuppah, or at the 7 meals after a wedding, called the Sheva Brachos. The last one is, Asher Barah Sasa V'Simcha Chatan V'Kala, Gila Rina, and the Sfardim have their own tune for that. I can't remember it. But in any case, that is what the Rambam calls Birkat Chasanim, the last blessing. And so according to Rambam, anytime there's a meal in the house of the bridegroom, after benching, they recite this blessing. And servants or minors should not recite this blessing. I'm sorry, it should not be... Yeah. Adkama v'acham bracha zoi. So until when is the blessing recited? If this was a widower who marries a widow, it's recited only on the first day. Biyom Rishon Bilvad, the first day. If he's a Bachur, if he's somebody who has never married, so if he is marrying a widow, an Almone, Almana, or Almoin, if he is a widower who is marrying somebody who has never married before, then the blessing is recited throughout the 7 days following the wedding, the 7 days of the marriage celebration. So as long as one of the two parties of the marriage has not been married before, it's a first wedding for at least one of the parties, you treat it and it gets the full 7 blessings. But if both have been married before and it's a second marriage for both of them, then it's only a 1-day affair and is done. Number 10, Yud, Bracha Zoy, Shemisifim Bebeis Chasanim, Hi Bracha Achrenim, Shem Bracha Zol Nisuin. So now Rambam tells us that what he meant before, the blessing that you recite in the house of the bridegroom for the all 7 days, that is the last blessing of the 7 blessings, the Sheva Brachot. Sheva means 7, Sheva Brachot, the 7 blessings. Okay, so here the Rambam introduces us the idea that we're more familiar with, which is that every day of the 7 days following the wedding, we make a special meal where the chastan and kala are present, and at the end we do the benching, and we add the 7 blessings, all 7 blessings. But as we know from our custom, there has to be at least one person there that was not at the wedding or that was not at a previous Sheva Brachot. He's called a Panim Chadashot, a new face. The Rambam doesn't mention that you only need one person who wasn't there. The way the Rambam puts it is that they all have to have not been at the wedding. I don't know if Rambam is negating the custom that we have, but let's see what Rambam says. So he says, this is only true when the people who are eating the meal were at the wedding and they heard the blessings said at the wedding, the 7 blessings under the chuppah. But if you have a new group of people who have not heard the blessing at the wedding, during the wedding, then after the benching, after the grace after meals, all 7 blessings can be said just as they are said at the wedding. But there have to be 10 people. There has to be a minyan, a sarah, which means 10, V'chatanim min haminyan, and the chatan, the groom, is counted as one of the 10. In other words, even though the blessing is being recited in honor of the chatan, you might think, oh, we need a minyan outside of the chatan. No, the chatan is part of the quorum. Number 11, and these are the sheva brachot. These are the 7 blessings. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, creator of man, Yotzer Adam. The 2nd blessing is, blessed are you, King, Lord our God, King of the universe. Everything was created. He created everything for his glory. 3rd blessing, blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe, who has formed man in his image, in an image reflecting his likeness. He brought forth his form and prepared for him from his own self a structure that will last for all time. Of course, referring to the new Jewish home that's being built. Binyan Adeyad. Blessed are you, God, creator of man. 4th blessing. So yistos is v'sagil akara. May the barren one rejoice and exult as her children are gathered to her with joy. The barren one here is referring to Jerusalem. Blessed are you, God, who makes Zion rejoice in her children. 5th blessing. Grant joy to those loving these loving companions, as you granted joy to your creation in the Garden of Eden long ago. Blessed are you, God, who grants joy to the groom and bride. So the reference to the Garden of Eden, of course, is to Adam and Eve. Sameach atah v'kalah. And the final blessing, the 7th blessing, is, bless you, according to the verse, who created joy and happiness, bride and groom, gladness, song, cheer, delight, love, harmony, peace, friendship. Soon, God our Lord, may they be heard in the cities of Judah. Kol sason v'kol simcha, kol chatan v'kol kala. A voice of grooms rejoicing from their wedding canopies and youths from their song fest. Blessed are you, God, who grants joy to the groom together with the bride. I read an interesting story about a year or two ago about an older rabbi from Israel named Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rabbi David Soloveitchik. And you've heard of the name Soloveitchik from Yeshiva University, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, very famous rabbi and father of modern Orthodoxy in America, very well respected in the Yeshiva University world and beyond. The Rebbe, he was close with the Rebbe, and they spent time together back in Europe. And he came to Afrabringen. He visited the Rebbe after when the Rebbe was in mourning several times. So the Soloveitchik dynasty goes back to Rabbi Chaim of Brisk and beyond. And they were very into study of Rambam. They were obsessed with Rambam. In fact, they would teach the young children from a very young age to memorize what we're studying now, what is Mishneh Torah, by heart. To study the Rambam literally by heart from a young age. And they were geniuses, so they could do this stuff. And it's I'd never seen that before. It was a biography that I read about Rabbi Chaim of Brisk. And I mean, because when we were growing up, and to this day, there is this idea of teaching kids to memorize Mishnah, Gemara, Tanya, so forth. I'd never heard of memorizing Rambam until I read that book. So anyway, there's an older rabbi, he passed away, I think, about a year ago, Rabbi David Soloveitchik in Israel. And when he was already elderly, he came to a chuppah. And they honored him to say the seven blessings, or one of the seven blessings. And he was older, and they're giving him a sitter to say the blessing from. And the Soloveitchik also have a kind of a sense of humor. And he says, "You think I'm old? You think I'm going to forget how to say this? I need a sitter." He says, "How could I forget a law in the Rambam? As we just read, all the seven blessings are listed and stated fully in the Rambam. So as a kind of humorously, he said, how could I forget it? It's in the Rambam." Not that he's been to hundreds of weddings throughout his life and that's how you remember it. It's in the Rambam. You can't forget it. Number 12, Shochach v'li hiski b'Shabbos v'yom tiv kedusha sayyim. If a person on Shabbos or a festival forgot to mention either the Ritzei for Shabbat or Yalav Vo for the holiday, what do you do? Depends. If you remembered right before you started the fourth blessing, so you said Uvenei, Uvenei Yerushalayim, Bonei V'rachamav Yerushalayim Amen. Whoops, I forgot Ritzei, I forgot Yalav Vo. At that point, at that critical juncture, there is a special blessing that you say, and I have to say that this is very complicated. It's actually not that complicated, but it's confusing. If you look in the Bencher, which is the booklet with this with the benching after the meal, there's a whole page all in a gray shaded box. And I've noticed people, they turn the page, they see this box, and it says, well, on Shabbat, say this. And you're not supposed to read it. Because it's only if you forgot to say it where you were supposed to say it, then it's a makeup spot. And so if you forgot to say it, then after Bonei V'racham Yerushalayim Amen, before you start the fourth blessing, there is something you can make up for what you missed. And so if it's Shabbat, you're going to say, blessed is God who gave rest to the Jewish people and a sign and a covenant, a holy covenant. Blessed are you, God, who sanctifies the Shabbat. So it's a very short version of mentioning Shabbat after the third blessing before you start the fourth blessing. And the same thing if it's a holiday, and you forgot to say Yalav Yavo, you're going to say, blessed are you, God, who has given Yamim Tovim, festivals for the land, for the nation of Israel, for joy. Blessed are you, God, who sanctifies the Jewish people and the festivals. And then you go and you continue with the fourth blessing, Hakel Avinu, Malkeinu, and so on. But if you already started the fourth blessing, did you mess up? You can't just go back to Ritzei. You go back to start. Go back to the beginning of the benching to put in what you missed. Let me just see what he says over here in the footnote. Yeah. The Ravid disagrees. The Ravid says you don't have to go all the way back to the beginning, but the halacha remains like Rambam says. What are you going to do? 13, Barashi Chadashim, on Rosh Chodesh, the first day of the month, if you forgot to say Yalav Yavo, here the law is different than if you forgot it on a festival. If you forgot it on a festival, what do we say? You got to go back. But if you forgot it on Rosh Chodesh, so you have the same deal as with the holiday and Shabbat, that you could do that special insert before you started the fourth blessing, and that special insert is, blessed are you, God, who has given us Rosh Chodesh to his nation Israel as a remembrance, and you don't have any conclusion to that blessing. So with the Yom Tov, there was a conclusion. The conclusion of a blessing usually ends, blessed are you, God, etc. With Rosh Chodesh, you don't do that. You just keep going. For the fourth blessing, you keep going. But if you already started the fourth blessing, you just finish it, and you don't go back to the beginning, because it's Rosh Chodesh, it's a lesser degree of holiness than a festival, so you should say it, you're supposed to say it, but if you missed it, Keep going. And the same thing with Chol HaMoed, the intermediate days of a holiday, and Chanukah and Purim, that the additions that we make for those special days, if you missed it, it's okay. You don't have to go back to the beginning and start over. Rambam doesn't mention it, but it is our custom that if you forgot the Al HaNisim for Chanukah and Purim, there is a place to put it in at the end where you say Harachamon, and you say, may the merciful one who did miracles for us in the past, so may he do for us now, and then you launch into the either Bimei Mordechai or Bimei Matisyahu. Number 14, this is the final halacha for today. Misha Ochal, somebody who ate. Vishochach, and he forgot. Veloy Beirich. Oiva Bottle, he forgot to bench. And then he wakes up an hour later. Oi, I forgot to bench. What do I do now? He calls the rabbi. Rabbi doesn't answer the phone. So he looks in the Rambam. Says the Rambam, Im Nisker Koidim Shis Akil. So it's an hour later. Do I still say the blessing? It's 2 hours later. Can I still say the after blessing? Says the Rambam. If the food has not yet become digested in your in your stomach, then you can still say the blessing. But if it's already been digested in your stomach, you don't go back and say the blessing. It's too late. You're a shlamazel. You missed it. You can't say the blessing. So what does that mean? I mean, do you have to go to the doctor and find out, was it digested? Or you need to take a shot? Do you need to take an MRI? How are you going to know if it's digested or not? Says the halacha, if you feel full from that meal, you can still say the blessing. If you're already starting to get hungry again, it's too late. You're no longer satisfied from that meal. Now, what if you didn't eat that much, you weren't satisfied to begin with, so you can't really judge it on that. So there's a 72-minute rule. If it's within 72 minutes, you're okay. Also, if you're not sure, you don't remember. Did I bench? I didn't bench. I can't remember. So then, when you eat to your satiety bread, you are required by biblical law to do the benching. Unlike if you didn't eat to your satisfaction, then you're still required to do the benching, but only by rabbinic law. So we know the rule is, when you're not sure about something, whether you did a mitzvah or you didn't, are you required to do it or not? It depends. If it's a biblical law and you're not sure if you did it or not, you need to err on the side of caution and do it again. Let's say you're not sure if you ate your matzah on Pesach. That's a biblical requirement. You're not sure? You have to do it again. You don't say a blessing over it because maybe you did already do it and then the blessing would be in vain, so you don't say the blessing, but you have to eat the matzah again. If you're not sure if you put on your tefillin, did I put on tefillin today? I don't remember. You have to do it again without the blessing. But if it's a rabbinic requirement, for example, today, eating Mara on Pesach is a rabbinic requirement. If you're not sure if you did it or not, you don't have to do it again because maybe you already did it. Same thing here. If you ate to your satiety, that's a biblical requirement now to bench. If you're not sure if you benched, you need to bench again. Assuming you're within the time limit of saying it. But if you were never full to begin with, that means you never were required by biblical law to say it to begin with. You're only by rabbinic law, therefore you would not repeat it. That concludes the chapter. Let's go to our test yourself on this chapter by Mendy Weinberg. Who instituted the fourth blessing of the grace after meals?
Mishnah.
Chachmei HaMishnah. Excellent. Was it King David and Solomon? No. Men of the Great Assembly? No. That's before Sages of the Mishnah. Sages of the Mishnah? Yes. Who instituted the third blessing of the grace after meals?
David and Solomon.
2 for 2. We are at number 3. Workers who are paid a salary by their employer. Do they recite a blessing? I say, I think a blessing before eating their bread when they are eating during work hours.
No.
I'm going to go with no, and no it is. We are 3 for 3. Number 4. Can the groom be counted in the minyan? that is required to say the special blessings at a wedding, yes, or Sheva Brachot.
Yes. Yes.
Four for four. Congratulations. This class is just off the charts. Baruch Hashem. Well, gentlemen, I wish you a wonderful night. And tomorrow night, we've got a minyan in San Mateo. My apologies to all of you who are not in San Mateo for this announcement, but we will have a minyan at Dave Schwartz's house at 7:30 p.m. His father has yartzeit for his father. There will be herring, not the herring from Brooklyn, but herring nonetheless, and other great snacks. So I won't be here tomorrow. That will be, so I got some, get somebody else to teach a class. But I wish you a wonderful night and a wonderful week.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Laila Tov.
Good night.
Yeah, sure.